Miss Philpott had not been able to take the air with Gilbert at the appointed time, but she was able to dash off a note and run to give it to him in the square. She proposed meeting later that evening at 10 o'clock. Later, they were quite secluded in the little park there, behind the shelter of the perimeter trees and bushes. Only from an upper-story window might they be spotted, but it was unlikely given the gloom. No one else was here, and it was not unheard of for two upper servants to be walking out together. Miss Philpott blushed at the thought, with the permission of their master. But she knew that as an unmarried lady, even in these modern times, she ought not to be with a man without a chaperone. It was only business, but as Gilbert took her hand and put it through his arm, she could not but shiver with delight. How silly, he must think her, misunderstanding his intentions, when she did not really. It was only the response of complete inexperience. Had life been different, she might have had many such casual attentions by now, but it did not, and her body betrayed her with a shiver. She conveyed her results to him, and he whistled when she recounted her interview with the valet. "He must fancy you, I reckon," he teased. Miss Philpott blushed, and was glad of the protection of the twilight. Gilbert told his tale of the house in Tavistock Street, where his lordship spent two evenings a week, and his visit to the kitchens to chat to a maid there and find out the situation. The lady of the house, Mrs. Rogers, was a widow, with one son that his lordship doted on. The bills for the household were sent to him, and the whole household, of maid, cook, and groom, while protecting the lady's reputation, drew their own conclusions.
"A child, and yet he wishes to marry that poor," she sighed. "Oh, Gilbert, you are so very clever to have found out all of these things from the maid."
She looked up a little naughtily and repeated his teasing words.
"She must fancy you, I reckon."
Suddenly, Gilbert pulled her towards him and turned her so that her back was to a tree trunk. He tilted her head and kissed her. She froze, and he pulled away. "Shh," he began, but one little hand flew to his lips while the other grasped his lapel.
"It's just that it is my first kiss," she whispered.
"Ever?"
"Ever."
He bent down and gently kissed her again, but she pulled him closer, and his lips became more urgent. They pulled away from her mouth and flew across her cheek and neck below her ear. She wished her lace collar were not so high, so that he could go on, further and further down her neck. Suddenly, she felt greedy, for what she did not know. Gilbert pulled away, breathing hard. "Well," he said, trying to be his old jaunty self, "let's get you back home." They walked together in constricted silence. At the park gate, Miss Philpott grasped his arm urgently and looked up into his eyes.
"Don't be sorry, Gilbert. Please don't be sorry. I know you didn't mean anything. You've kissed many people. You probably kissed the maid you talked to tonight."
Gilbert looked a little abashed.
"It doesn't matter, I know that. But for me, it was different. I will keep the memory of my only kiss forever. And though I ought to, I could never regret it."
She gave his arm another squeeze and left Gilbert standing frozen to the spot.